All right, welcome back. Another day, another series finished. The Florida Panthers have sent the Tampa Bay Lightning packing for the summer. Did Steven Stamkos really play his final game in a Bolts uniform? We'll talk about that a little bit. As many as four more series could wrap up this evening. Four teams could be moving on to round two, or we could have four teams staying alive for another day. Wouldn't that be nice? At least three of them would be nice. Welcome to the program, everybody. Raven Gasser behind the wall. Your host, Tassos Kyrkos, talking to you right now. Thanks for being with us on this wonderful Tuesday morning. We posited the question yesterday of which team could be the one to come back from down 3-1. Tampa Bay has officially crossed off our list of teams for that. So six is down to five of our potential groups that could do it. I'd love to see at least one of these teams make a good run for it. I think that would make for some really good hockey, some really good action to end the first round here. Although we did find out yesterday, at least one of our series will be going to at least six games, with the Dallas Stars beating the Vegas Golden Knights yesterday. Dallas takes both games at T-Mobile Arena. We've seen it happen, the 3-1 comeback the last few years. We've seen it happen a couple times. We saw it happen with the Panthers last year and the Boston Bruins. Wonder if it will happen this time around. We'll find out the fate of potentially four more of those teams tonight. How you doing, Raven?
Doing okay.
Doing okay. All right, let's jump into it. So the Cats get their first series win in the Battle of Florida. Florida runs through them now. That was a really, really solid effort by the Panthers. Third period, especially, Florida runs them out of the building. I've been more and more in awe of the crowd in Sunrise as these days go on, as the home games pile up in the playoffs for the Panthers. And if you haven't followed the Panthers on social media, it's a good follow. They have really leaned into the bit that many Northern hockey fans give of the Florida Panthers, saying that they only have about six fans. They've really leaned into that one. So it's fun to see Florida is moving on. They will face either the Boston Bruins or the Toronto Maple Leafs, although it is looking more and more like that will be Boston. We will talk about that a little bit more later. We all saw Steven Stamkos waiting around after the game, wanting to be the last one off the ice, waiting for the few stragglers of his teammates to get off after the handshake line. And you could tell he was soaking it in a little bit. Said after the game he hadn't really thought much about his future past that game. John Cooper, in his post-game presser, said that Stamkos should be a Bolt for life. Tough go for Tampa in the series. Probably wish they had capitalized on a few more of their chances. But the Panthers are on a different level right now. And it is a level that the Lightning are not able to get to at this point in time. Call it whatever you want. Call it a changing of the guard. Call it Tampa being depleted of a lot of its depth that got them and had them the success that they had, two Stanley Cups and a final the year after. Whatever you want to paint it as, I look at it as the team in South Florida is a contender right now. Sticking with that side of the ice, Sasha Barkov played out of his mind last night, two goals, including the series winner. Second active player to score a shorthanded series clinching goal, joining former Tampa Bay Lightning Yanni Gourde, now of the Seattle Kraken, back in 2021. But this Florida Panthers team has been really impressive. Obviously, you have Bobrovsky named a Vezina Trophy finalist yesterday. I've been just really thoroughly impressed with this group. Carter Verhaeghe was really good yesterday. Matthew Tkachuk was impactful yesterday. You knew he wanted to make a big impact, and that this group did not want to have to go back up to Tampa for a game six. As far as what Tampa Bay does, a lot of the questions are going to be pointed at Steven Stamkos. Will he return? Won't he return? You know, there's bound to be many clickbait articles, of which I've already seen a few this morning, of where will Steven Stamkos end up? What jersey will we see him in at the beginning of the 2024-25 season? I still hold out hope and belief that it will be a Tampa Bay Lightning uniform. Now, the journalist in me, who wants the juiciest story possible, wouldn't it be something if Steven Stamkos switched sides of this Battle of Florida and joined the Florida Panthers? Stranger things have happened. I know that would seem pretty treasonous to many Tampa Bay Lightning fans, and maybe even some Florida Panthers fans who have watched this guy torture team for a very long time, although I am sure many of them would welcome him with open arms. I've heard some things. I've heard Chicago. I've heard Utah. I've heard Nashville. But I hold it out that I really, truly believe that Steven Stamkos wants to remain a Tampa Bay Lightning for the rest of his career. He is ingrained in that organization. Could continue to pile up a lot of the records for that squad. And the dynamic of that whole, he's still a really great player. 40-goal season, 80-point season. The dynamic of this team will change immensely without Steven Stamkos. I know you have Point, and you have Sorelli, and you have Kucherov, and you have a lot of these other players, but I would be wary of trading or letting Steven Stamkos go in free agency this summer. There may be some dollars and cents differences, although I'm pretty sure something can be worked out there. But we will see. Florida Panthers move on to round two. They will be a menace for whatever team gets them in the second round, whether that ends up being Boston or Toronto. The other game last night, we have four games on tap for you, by the way, tonight. We mentioned them earlier. They are all 3-1 series scores. And thank God for that other game last night that made it so we did not have to have another 3-1 series. Dallas and Vegas, finally we have a series that's all knotted up through four games. Dallas wins both games in Vegas. This series is all tied at twos, heading back to Dallas tomorrow night. How about Braden McNabb laying out Logan Stankoven with a huge hit in the first period? Then Jamie Benn coming in for some retribution, caught McNabb with probably just as big of a hit as McNabb dished out to Stankoven. Love to see that from the captain, stepping up in that way. Hit for a hit, no fight needed. Wyatt Johnson gets another goal. He had goals in both games in Vegas. Was really good again last night. Lots of block shots for the Dallas Stars. Really solid commitment to team defense these last two games for them. Ty Dellandrea gets the goal. Ends up being the game winner after being a scratch the first two games of the series. We mentioned game five is tomorrow night in Dallas. Road team has won every game of this series so far. And boy, don't you want to see this one go seven. I would love to see this one go seven. Jake Ottinger was really good last night as well. And Logan Thompson has been very, very good for the Golden Knights. I know that was a tough outing last night for him. But you'd have to imagine that, one, they're going to stick with him and ride him. But does there come a point where you put in Aiden Hill? Maybe that's game five. Maybe it's game six if you lose. Or maybe Logan Thompson is your guy going forward the rest of, at the very least, this series. That we do not know, but Dallas takes that one 4-2. So that series is all knotted up, and I could not be more thrilled about that. Great for business here. Great for the entertainment value of these shows. So those were your two games last night. They were both great games. We got another four on deck for you tonight. We also had another coach let go. Dave Hextall was dismissed as the coach of the Seattle Kraken yesterday. I wanted to talk about this a little bit before we got to tonight's games. It was obviously the news of the day. Very interesting, I guess, the timing of it. You know, we all know that Gary Bettman and the NHL prefer that moves like this be made in the little bit of a gap between the regular season ending and the playoffs beginning. Obviously, we know that these teams need to do a bit more of an evaluation process after their season. Ryan Francis probably felt that now is the time, had finally reached his decision and acted on it yesterday. And to me, this seems kind of like another coaching move made in a long list of people losing their jobs, kind of at the expense of feeling a move needs to be made right now. It'll be interesting to see what kind of coach Ryan Francis is choosing to go with for his next hire. Keep in mind, Hextall was the first coach in Seattle Kraken history. Assistant coach Paul McFarland will also not return. You know, he's a great coach too. I'm really high on Dave Hextall. I heard some other things. I heard from Emily Kaplan that there were players on the Kraken who said that they did not want to return if Hextall was returning as the coach of the Kraken, although that has not been confirmed. You know, we went pretty close to 500, about five games under 500, a record of 107, 112, and 27 through his three seasons in Seattle. For me, the number that stands out the most alarming is that Dave Hextall is the 10th coach fired this season. Is there really enough time to establish a culture after only 3 years with a team? Discuss amongst yourselves. partly yes and partly no in my mind. For me, it's all about what were the expectations communicated about the performance of this team. Were the Kraken, you know, we saw them get to game seven of the second round last year, losing to the Dallas Stars. Were they expected to take that next step? I think a lot of us on the outside looking in should have expected that this group, and did expect that this group, would take back a step back of some kind. Yes, it was a big step back. And as a team that is compared to the Vegas Golden Knights very often for entering the league around the same time, entering under the same expansion draft rules, these two teams are compared a lot. But when you look at the Seattle Kraken and you look at the timeline of the Vegas Golden Knights, Seattle has not made the deals to augment their roster in the way that Vegas did. Vegas shipped off the three first-round picks that they had acquired in their first draft. Nick Suzuki was gone. Eric Brandstrom was gone to bring in Mark Stone. Cody Glass ended up being gone. Seattle's held on to their players. Matty Beniers is going to be a future first-line center for this team for a very, very long time. They've held on to Shane Wright, who is going to be an impact player for this team as soon as this fall. But Vegas went to the final their first year, so expectations were set sky high. And they're now on their fourth coach in Bruce Cassidy, but they do have a Stanley Cup now to show for it. But if you're looking at the Kraken, there is an obvious hole at center for Seattle. If you are looking at it from the perspective of the youth that they have, the hope is that spot is filled by Shane Wright. But that shouldn't have impacted the expectations for this season in my mind. This is a team that should be integrating youth into the lineup, not selling it off for win now pieces. They still need another number one defenseman too, or a number one defenseman. And it's really hard to fault Dave Haxtell too much for the performance of the team in my eyes. But Francis felt they needed a shakeup behind the bench. For me, it is about what was the composition of the team. And look, this is a lot of coaches fired. I understand the NHL has become one of the most vitriolic in terms of coaching carousel, guys being let go. I just don't feel like 3 years is enough to establish a culture. It is enough to decide whether you're a fit or not. So if there is clear disconnect between management and the coaching staff, or ownership and the coaching staff, whatever the disconnect is, that is a good enough timeline to gauge whether you really have the right guy or not. It just in my mind, though, it doesn't really give time for everything you have been trying to implement to take effect. So you might be letting go of a head coach a little bit too soon if you're the Seattle Kraken. But I can understand wanting to get a guy in now. There are a lot of really good coaching candidates on the market right now. And if Ron Francis has a guy in mind, he should go out and get him. For Dave Haxtell, I would almost assume that he would get another opportunity in the NHL. I don't know if it will be as soon as this upcoming season, but I'm sure his name will remain out there. Paul McFarland, like I said, is also a really, really good coach. So tough for them to lose their gig, but we will see what kind of coach Seattle chooses to go with, whether that will be a rookie head coach in the NHL. Is it a guy like David Carl, who we've talked about a lot on this program, trying to get him a job, voicing his, singing his praises? If you are looking for someone who is looking to integrate the youth into the lineup, someone that can help guys like Shane Wright, Riker Evans, some of these other players that the Kraken have accumulated through their first three drafts. If you're looking for someone that's going to incorporate those players into the lineup, help bring them up in the NHL, maybe a guy like David Carl is that kind of guy. If, you know, you're looking for something like Buffalo was looking for, maybe a bit more accountability in the lineup, going the Lindy Ruff route, we will see what Ron Francis decides his hockey club needs. But definitely one of the most interesting coaching changes so far this summer. Probably the least expected one out of some of these other ones we've gotten. But definitely an intriguing opportunity for a lot of coaches to take. So we will wait and see who the next coach of the Seattle Kraken will be. The second coach in Kraken history. So the games tonight, we have four of them. Four of these clubs can go home. Four of them could stay alive. We will start with the earliest game, and that is the Leafs at the Bruins. Apparently, the Toronto Maple Leafs are preparing for a scenario where they are without Auston Matthews today due to an illness that has stretched out the last about week or so. Max Domi taking the role of first-line center in practice yesterday, just in the case that Matthews is unable to go. We wonder if it will be Joseph Woll in the cage for Toronto tonight or if they will turn back to Ilya Samsonov. Widely anticipated that the Boston Bruins will go with Jeremy Swayman, although would anybody be surprised if they decided to shock all of us and go with Linus Ullmark? Jim Montgomery may be looking to keep us all on our toes. David Pastrnak, too, for the Bruins. Seems like he's due for a big game either tonight or soon if Toronto is able to extend this series. So that one kicks off at 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central. Half an hour after that, you have the Isles at the Canes. Islanders will do anything and everything to try and stay alive another day and stave off elimination. Semyon Varlamov will get the nod again tonight in goal for the Islanders. We will assume it will be Freddie Anderson on the other side of things for the Hurricanes. Hurricanes looking to move on to the second round for the fourth year in a row. And you have to have a feeling that they are going to have a bit of a chip on their shoulders for the way that Saturday's game ended. Not that they played a poor game, but just maybe they felt like that was one that they could have had and maybe wrapped this thing up already. So they will try to do that tonight. I am sure they will give a good effort. That should be a really, really good game tonight. Probably one of the better ones that we have on the docket tonight. And then we got West Coast, a bit of a later game. Avs-Jets trailing in this series. They will be without Brendan Dillon for game five due to a fairly serious cut on his left hand. I don't know if you saw the picture for that, Raven, of this guy's hand. Don't look it up if that is not your thing, but it was pretty gruesome. So he will be out tonight. Also no Vlad Nemestnikov for the Jets. For the Avalanche, you know, we've talked about Val Nichushkin had a hat trick in game four, first hat trick of his NHL career. I don't feel like I mentioned that. Arturi Lehkonen, though, his goals in all four of the playoff games that the Avs and Jets have played so far, really turned himself into a playoff performer. He's been this for a while. This isn't anything new for Arturi Lehkonen. Gone to the final with the Montreal Canadiens, won the cup with Colorado. But this guy just knows how to turn it on come playoff time. So Jets might look to change things up a little bit. Didn't look like they had changed their lines too much of practice. But they got to generate some more offense. They got to really be able to put a few more pucks by Alexander Georgiev, and they need their own netminder to step up with a big performance tonight. We will see if he is able to do that. Before we get to the last game, Preds Canucks, keep in mind all these are elimination games here, folks. So all of these series could be over as soon as tonight. Should mention yesterday, since we were talking Connor Hellebuyck, we do have our finalists for the Vezina Trophy as announced yesterday by the NHL. We have Connor Hellebuyck, Sergei Bobrovsky, and Thatcher Demko. It is the first time Thatcher Demko has been nominated for this award. Had 35 wins this season, 5 shutouts in 51 games, 6 in wins, 5th in GAA. Was leading the NHL in wins when he sustained his injury back on March 9th, caused him to miss 14 games. So this has been a really good season. I think a lot of people believe it's Hellebuyck's to lose. He's already claimed the Jennings Trophy this season. But hey, Bobrovsky had a really, really good season. And the one thing I will say about Sergei Bobrovsky is there was a period of time, even as early or as soon as last season, as recently as last season, before the playoffs kicked off, that Sergei Bobrovsky contract was weighing down on the Panthers like an anchor. Not just with his play, but with the narrative around it, with the idea that they were misusing $10 million in cap space that they could have diverted to other parts of this lineup. You had one of the hottest goaltending prospects in the NHL in Spencer Knight, who was pushing for a bit of playing time last season, and you had a really good guy in Alex Lyon, who helped push you into the playoffs down the stretch last year. That contract was not looking good for the Panthers, and I don't know that there was really many people, if anybody out there, who believed that Sergei Bobrovsky would step up and get to this level of play again that we have seen from him this year. He is a 3-time finalist for the award. He's won it twice. twice with the Columbus Blue Jackets, 2012-13 and 2016-17. You know, we're going to see how this goes. I think it's Hellebuck's to lose. I think he will claim his second Vezina, first since the 1920 season. You know, Hellebuck's four-time finalist himself. This is, you know, anybody's award to win. I just wanted to give a nod to Bobrovsky because, like I said, nobody really expected him to get to this point again in his career. And, you know, if the Jets end up going home packing tonight, Florida ends up going on winning another round or two or three, you could really make the case that Sergei Bobrovsky is the best goaltender in the National Hockey League right now, even if Connor Hellebuck wins the Vezina. Maybe that title finally changes over to Sergei Bobrovsky. So our final game of the night, Preds at the Canucks, 3-1 series lead for the Vancouver Canucks. Three wins by three different goalies. Will be interesting to see who Vancouver has to go with in net tonight for this potential series clincher. Saw something today that they are playing it, quote, hour by hour, as far as who is going to go tonight in net for Vancouver. Artur Seelovs was really good on Sunday, potentially getting the second start in a row for him. Maybe Casey DeSmith makes his return to the Vancouver lineup. Would be the eighth team to win a series. Get this. Would be the eighth team to win a series after having three different starting goalies register wins in that series. Really, really interesting stuff. The way that they've been able to rally behind who was ever in net for them is the making of a good team. When you are able to overcome the challenges that are presented in front of you, that is a sign of resilience and a sign that you have the determination to make it far in these playoffs. If you're Nashville, you have to feel good about how you've played in this series. You could just as easily be up 3-1 in the series. You know, you have the lead in game one, you lose it in the third period. You're up 3-1 with 3 minutes to go in this game. You lose it, you let them tie it with the Brock Besser hat trick, and then you lose it in the first minute of overtime. But you have to be happy with the way you've played. You've suppressed Vancouver to the least amount of shots that any team has gotten through their first four games in playoff history. And that is a real, real commitment to team defense, shot blocking, all the stuff that are parts of the recipe to success here in the playoffs. But you can't really stray away from that if you're Nashville. You can't really try and push for goals here, push for the win, abandon the structure, grip the stick a little too tight, even though your season could end tonight. If you're Nashville, in my mind, you got to hang tight to the way you've been playing. And you might be able to squeak out a win here to stay alive tonight. This is going to be a quick one for us today. We're going to keep it short here. I did want to touch on some other stuff. We mentioned yesterday some junior hockey. Junior hockey playoffs around North America are all in the final four stages of their playoffs. So I just wanted to give some quick updates here because I've been watching some of the ones, some of the Western Hockey League games and some of the Ontario Hockey League games myself and a little bit of the USHL. I have to admit, I have not been watching too much of the Q. Out in the dub, Saskatoon and Moose Jaw are all knotted up at ones. Portland is up 2-1 on Prince George. OHL action, London is up 2-1 on Saginaw. Saginaw, by the way, is your host for the 2024 MasterCard Memorial Cup. Oshawa Generals are up 3-0 on North Bay. Out in the Q, Drummondville is up 2-0 on Victoriaville, and Baie-Comeau is up 2-1 on Cape Breton. And then we have our league here, the USHL, Fargo and Sioux City are all knotted up at one, and Dubuque is up 2-0 on Muskegon. Both of those, by the way, are best of five series, not best of seven, as are the three CHL leagues. Also mentioned yesterday, PWHL kicks back off tonight, Ottawa at New York. And the reason why this game is interesting, and you should maybe keep at least one eye on it amidst all the Stanley Cup playoff madness ensuing tonight. New York can clinch the first overall pick in the draft with a win in this game. I've talked a little bit about not the golden rule, something like that. But the ability that once you are mathematically eliminated from the playoffs that you play to win for the rights to the first overall pick. So a win tonight and New York will land Sarah Filliez, who we have mentioned quite a few times, widely expected to be the first overall pick in that draft. Another game tomorrow night, Minnesota at Toronto, kicking off. Sarah Nurse, I mentioned yesterday making a late season push for MVP in the scoring title. 3 points only behind teammate Natalie Spooner for tops in the league. Spooner still has 6 goals, a 6-goal edge on her Toronto teammate for the league lead. So that is looking safe for this season. 4 players also tied at 13 assists at the top of the league standings as well for that. And I mentioned this before, and I will mention it again. If you get a kick out of really incredible goaltending and really incredible goaltending stats, you know, we've seen things like save percentage drop in the NHL. Over the last few seasons, this has been a pretty widespread phenomenon. There's a lot of reasons for this. Shooters getting better. A lot of elite netminders retiring from the league, so you have more of an average sort of goaltender. A lot of these goaltenders learn the same mechanics, so you are, if you are a goaltender, you are almost built in a factory. Very few netminders in the NHL right now. Do they rely on their reflexes? Obviously, they rely on their reflexes to do what they do naturally, but you don't see a lot of guys out of position recovering to make kind of saves like we used to in the vein of a Jonathan Quick or a Henrik Lundqvist, for guys who, for as much as they were in position and solid and aware of the play around them, there was as much reaction to their game as there was technical stuff to it. So you don't see less of that, or you see less and less of that now as guys sort of stick to a model and stick to a mold of how the position should be played. Both are good, but they lead to declining save percentages. And also, like I mentioned earlier, the shooters in the NHL have caught up to the goaltenders. You see these waves and balances, 5-year stretches, 7-year stretches, where the goalies in the NHL are very, very dominant, and then the shooters are very, very dominant. But if you get a kick at a really good goaltending stats that remind you of the 2010s NHL, go take a peek at the save percentages of these PWHL goalies. They are sparkling. So that is our PWHL minute. Nothing really here from us. Short episode today. Like I said, wanted to keep it light and brief for you. Enjoy the 3 games or the 4 games on tap tonight. Hopefully none of them decide to end today. We'll get a couple more games going on tomorrow. If you have not listened to On the Gravel, go check it out now. Really good stuff. Really, really impressed with those guys. They have done really great work. It is out on YouTube. And we will be back tomorrow to talk about 2 more games. But enjoy the 4 games tonight. Let's hope these series keep going. Have a great day, everybody.